Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Barry the Boater, and Mike the Mariner rounding out the crew as we attempt to navigate the latest boating news and information. Okay, so, you know, you get up. It's a Saturday morning. You're excited because you're about to spend a day on the water, and everything's going great. You trailer the boat out of the garage. Let's say you have a smaller boat like Barry the Boater, and you head out to the lake or the local watering area where you want to, lower that boat into the water. And before you get there, you hear a gunk, and you look in the rearview mirror. Hey, where'd my boat go?
Exactly.
That is not how you want to start your day of boating activities. But we do have a story to share today that might illustrate one of the reasons or how you can avoid being the guy we're about to talk about. And so you don't become that guy that we talk about on a future episode of the World of Boating. Barry, what happened?
Right. Gentleman was on I-95 near the Hard Rock Stadium.
Okay, in South Florida.
And
yeah.
Somehow or another, he was trailing his boat, and somehow or another, the boat flew off the trailer and ended up on the on I-95. They had to use construction barrels to block off the lane that the boat took. There were no injuries, but there's no trailers, just a boat.
So, interesting. So it literally,
somehow or another,
it floated off of the trailer and went airborne, and then decided to go on its merry way before it got in the water.
I have a feeling that the only thing that was holding that boat in place was the strap that you winch it up with when you winch it up onto the trailer. That's the way a lot of them are. If you want to make it quick to launch, you don't add all the extras,
right?
Mine needed more weight in the boat as well as the winch.
Yeah, but it should have been strapped down.
I have a feeling that it just slid off. I think the strap broke and the thing just slid off, like if you were
but you should have more than just one strap,
right?
I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
I,
not
I
just,
have
like right. multiple tie
I have
downs
the, I,
when you're at the
yeah.
dock.
So
yeah.
I have the winch pulls the boat up. Mm-hmm. There is a chain that comes from the same area that the winch is on that also hooks up to the front eye of the boat. But you can't always rely on that. That eye can pull out. So on the rear of the boat, there are two tie downs that are mounted on the boat, and that tie to the trailer with just ratchet straps.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
If you don't have those tie downs, you can buy a large ratchet strap that'll actually go around the whole boat. Underneath the trailer, there's usually a place you could place it and then snug it down.
That's what I have. Yeah, that's what I have with the Craig Cat, with my tender.
Yeah.
Because I keep it on a trailer, and I have a... So I have the chain, I have the winch, and then on the back, I have a full strap that goes from one side of the trailer over the stern of the boat and then connects to the trailer again. And that just keeps it, connected to the trailer. So, I mean, anything can happen on especially lighter boats. If you're making a sharp turn and your trailer hits the curb and bounces up, if your boat's not strapped down, it could pop right off and end up in the lane, right next to you.
And that's not ideal.
No,
that is not ideal, especially when you look around like, wow, that's a really nice boat. Oh, crap. Yeah. That's mine.
Believe me, this happened to me years ago.
It did.
The same thing. It did. It wasn't my boat. It wasn't my truck. I was in the truck. friends of mine wanted to go water skiing one day. So they called and said, hey, Dillard, you want to go water skiing? I said, sure.
Yeah.
So I go meet him at his house, and he had this huge Ford truck with a big souped up engine, and we had his dad's bass boat, which was a really nice bass boat.
Okay. Ooh,
ooh. And off we go to Lake Underhill to go skiing, and we pull up to a red light, and this car next to us motions for us to roll down our windows, and we do. And the guy says, "Hey, your boat's on the street behind your trailer." And we're like, "What?" No! And we turn around. The boat was literally it. So apparently the latch wasn't locked, and he didn't have a stern strap on, and he had a lead foot. So when he floored it, leaving a red light, the previous red light, the boat just rolled right off the trailer.
Right.
It unspooled the winch all the way to its end. And the boat, we dragged the boat about a half mile.
Oh, wow.
He didn't notice?
Didn't notice. Well, he had a truck that had an engine, a monster engine. Yeah.
And just say, "Hey, I thought we were going to wait to water ski when we got on the water." What are you doing there, man?
Or did you say, "Hey, I'm going to call for a ride. You call your dad and explain it to him. I'm out of here."
Right.
Yeah. Well, it didn't damage the motor because the motor was tilted up. It did damage the gel coat on the bottom of the boat, but we actually spent about half an hour getting the boat back on the trailer. Four or five people helping us, strap it and crank it back onto the trailer.
How much of a distance did you pull the boat down the road?
At least a quarter mile.
Wow! It didn't grind down the hull.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it definitely messed up the gel coat, but it didn't go all the way through the gel coat. It just left a long white stripe down the road,
a big skid mark.
So we put the boat back on the trailer, went to the lake, and went skiing.
Okay.
How did you get the boat back on the trailer?
It took five of us, so we had to disconnect it from the truck. Two or three people kind of lifted the bow of the boat a little bit. It was a bass boat, like a 19-foot bass boat.
Right.
And then kind of shoved the trailer under there. And then the strongest one of the guys got up there with the crank and just started cranking. And we'd, shove the trailer. It took us about a half hour or an hour to get
there.
Wow. That's amazing.
Did you notice any other cars driving by at that time before you finally realized? Or was that the first person?
Oh, it was a spectacle. No, we created a traffic jam. I mean, 400 people saw this happen.
Hey, look at them Florida rednecks, man. Yeah.
I take it this was before YouTube, right?
Oh yes. I was in high school at the time. So this was before broadcasting, probably.
Yeah, that would have been a million views easy.
All right. It's ancient times. All right. But the moral of this story is you don't want to be Mike the Mariner's buddy. Or this first guy, what we were talking about down there in South Florida. What is it the rule of threes? You should always have at least three straps on your boat? Is there kind of unwritten rule that you do?
Mike's correct. If you don't have the back end strapped and you go over a bump, and I mean, you can go slow over train tracks and it'll still make everything hop.
Mm-hmm.
And that boat can hop right off the bunks and go sideways.
Mm.
Or it can hop all the way off. So you really need to strap down the back end as well as the front end. I mean, the front end should be more than just a strap. It should also have a chain.
All right. Strap, chain, and something to cover the back end.
Stern strap.
Like a boat thong, maybe is what the way
a boat to thong.
Yeah, to describe it. Just so you
that would be a great name for one.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
I've never had to do it, but I just named it for you. So,
I could visualize that.
Wow, that you just made it.
I'm still having trouble visualizing a boat thong, but
it could work.
But if you think of it that way, you won't forget it. I guess is my point, right?
Well, that is true. That would be a memorable brand, and I could embrace that.
Yep. So just make sure you got 3 points. I kind of think of it like when you're climbing a rock wall or something. You should always have 3 points in contact all the time. So that's kind of where. I'm coming from.
Or getting on and off a boat is the same way. One hand on the rail at all times and one foot on.
Right. But applying that to how you secure the boat to your trailer, that should be probably the minimum that you have points, right?
And that's why I've always said it's really good to have, you can't have a checklist for everything.
Yeah.
Especially, some of the simpler things. But if you have a routine, that is a checklist.
Or is easy to remember. Like, hey, honey, did you get the boat thong on there? We don't want to lose the boat on the way to the waterway there.
That.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And she'll look at you confused and you'll get a good giggle out of it, if nothing else. More coming up on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.